you'd like to read with us, we're going to start off reading some in Philippians, the second chapter. Reading just the fifth verse, pay attention to this verse. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what he's speaking of here is the mind of obedience. You know, Christ come, the Son of God, but still God. And Christ was not coming to do his will, but the Father's will. He was coming to be obedient unto what the Father was asking of him. And, you know, I'm afraid today we've come to a point in society where we think that we have a right, or because of the privileges that God has given us here in this country, we feel like we have a right to decide what part of the Word of God we want to abide by and what we don't. And that as long as we determine that it's all right, then it will be. But, you know, according to the Word of the Lord, God did not negotiate with man to decide what was right and what was wrong. God just said what it was, and then we come to it, or we're found in violation of it. And you and I today, it's not something we can dispute and come to agreement with like it's a union contract or something else, and it keep changing over time. The Word of God still stays the same. And you and I, no matter how times change, we still must come to it. You know, I was listening, and it was very comical, to a man on the radio talking about just words and what they mean and what they used to mean a few years ago and what they mean when they're said today. What a word, what it was said back when I was a kid, what it brought to a person's mind when the word was said and what it brings to a person's mind today. And something as simple as the word gay. When I was a kid and somebody said that, you thought happy. Somebody that was enjoying life. All this. Today when the word gay is mentioned, you automatically think of somebody that's a homosexual. And anybody that knows anything about that lifestyle, happy, and that don't go yet. It's a very depraved, sad way of living. And I realize the world thinks that is a bigoted way to look at it. You can take that or any other sin you want to name, and a person that chooses that sin for their lifestyle does not end up a happy person or a person that's enjoying life. Any way you want to pick it, it's a road down. Just like so many people in my lifetime I've seen, that they started out because they liked beer a little bit. And then they tried stronger drink. And after a while, you see the face. And you see the big bags under the eyes. And you start looking at them and you notice something is destroying that life. And then you begin to find out what it was. That at first it seemed to be such a pleasure, it gets to it's an addiction to the very point of destroying their life. And you and I today, when it comes to the things of God, I never found a place where I could sit down and say, God, what you lay down is not the most enjoyable. If you allow me to participate in this, it will make my life so much better. It don't work that way. Why, God planned out the best way, the one that'll bring the most joy and happiness to any soul that wants to follow it. The way that'll find blessings unto you, that's without measure. But you and I, when we begin to try and negotiate some of the way of living, we'll find nothing but destruction and misery and pain. And it's time for church people to realize it.
All right, if you'd like to read with us, here in this second chapter of Philippians, drop right on down to the 19th verse, the 14th verse. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, listen to that. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, you know, that's the thing that the church is not doing today. You'll find the church is full of murmuring and disputing over the things of God. You'll find that all kinds of people in the church will tell you exactly what the Word of God says is not necessary today. They'll tell you what God laid down as a way for us to live, that it no longer applies because we're under grace and Him. We get a free pass on some of the sin that we can participate in, and God won't count on sin unto us. But that's not what the Word of God says. And you and I today, we must come before God, as He said here, that He may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke. You and I today, God's going to rebuke us if we have sin in our lives. But He wants you and I to be a light unto the people of this world of just exactly what a Christian can be, of exactly what God would have us to be, that we might shine forth, not be something that blends in the darkness of the world, but that we might be a light unto that they could see and know just exactly what God is requiring of us. You know, if people will only listen to the word of the Lord and not doubt, but truly believe what God said, what a different world this would be. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, listen to this. Start with the 13th verse. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blame. Now that's coming back there to that word blameless again. And, you know, people, we act like just because that we determine something is right, you can't blame me if this is the way I see it. You can't blame me if this is what I would like to live, and this is the way I choose. I don't blame anybody. God's word is the one that already said what you and I are required of. And if somebody points out unto me or you that we're coming short, don't say that person is blaming us. We're out short coming. Confess what it is. We fell short of the glory of God. We failed to do what God has asked of us, and to live up to the point of what God said, to be without spot and blameless. You and I today, that's not that Christian that's blended in with the world. That's not that person that says, I'm all right when there's sin in their life. Have you ever heard of those person point out to you about some preacher and say, I'm just as good as they are? Well, you and I to say point about it, that person, then they're pointing out to it, and they're saying it's a preacher. All it falls down to is they're a church member. Why am I calling for a preacher? We're going to be on the same mind and Christ, and that's being obedient unto God. Unto God in His Word. And I'm afraid today that not many people care what the Word of the Lord has to say. Not many people seem to be interested in hearing what the truth is. We've become a nation of people that is self-willed and in our own eyes can do nothing wrong. As I heard this week, I'm not going to repeat what was said, but some woman winning an award at one of the award shows in Hollywood made a remark degrading Christ and holding up what she'd won and said, "This is my God." And people today in America, that's supposed to be a Christian nation, we act like if you think that God is real, if you think that Christ truly come and died for you, you're weak-minded. And as I heard just in the last week or two, a statement of a person that said, "We're just like a dog. When we're dead, we're dead." Oh, if that was only true for those that don't know God, then it wouldn't be so bad. But that's not true. They may live as a dog, but for all of eternity, they'll suffer the pain and the anguish of those that rejected God. And you and I, we're not going to give fire. God is holding us guilty. And we have sinned in our lives. And it's time to realize that whether the world claims this or not, when God made a way for salvation for me and for you, if we don't take hold of it, when we stand before Him, we're going to be judged and found guilty. And, you know, people in this country, they just act like, you know, I heard another thing in the news of some kind of a parade or something that's going to be put on by the homosexual group, and a beer advertisement company, because of the outcry of Christian people against this, has withdrawn their support because they're afraid they will lose business. Well, you know, isn't that something that an alcohol beverage company would be worried about what the Christian people might quit buying their products? Well, I got some news for them. They don't have any Christians buying their product anyhow. They might have church members. But if we're of the mind of Christ, we've come out of those things and we're living a better life than that. I'm not saying a thing in anybody's life that alcohol ever improved. The only benefit I've ever found from alcohol was to rub on a sore muscle or to keep out ticks and tears off your lips. But they just get into your body. They're no good to deliver, do you? And it's time for you and I to realize that God wants us to come out and to be lights of the new world. To stand up and tell people sin is not going to get by without being paid for. And Christ paid for it at Calvary for me and for you. And we'll come down before it and humbly accept that. Otherwise, you and I, we will be turned into hell for all of eternity before we neglected the plan of salvation. I was not able to live good enough to be forgiven of my sin. I had to realize there was one that could forgive me, and that was Christ, because of what He did there at Calvary. As my son was bringing the message this morning, you know, I'm afraid even the church people do not realize what the plan of salvation cost. We don't realize it enough. If we did, I'd think that we would be more careful about how that we live. Why? Because you'll find anybody, have you ever seen somebody that had a real expensive garment on, whether it was a suit of clothes or a dress?
You watch how careful they are. Have you ever noticed? This is one that is really good. Have you ever noticed a bride that falls God? That you and I might be the bride of God. That we might be pure and white on the day of His coming. You know, if people would quit just selling out, and that's basically what it amounts to. Man is selling out for the pleasures here of alcohol, sex, drugs, money, just whatever you want to name like that in the sin. You know, it's strange here in America. You don't hear it mentioned as much as you used to, but it's still referred to that. We've got, and it's a heavy tax. We've got what's called a sin tax in America. And it's on alcohol, it's on cigarettes, it's on these things, and yet you'll find people that call themselves Christian partaking in it all the time. Look like that would wake you up a little bit when even the world recognizes that it's a tax on a sinful product, doesn't it? Well, you and I today, if we'll just come down and just say, Lord, as Christ said to her in the garden, not my will, thy will be done in me. You know, as we were coming to church today, I heard on the radio the statement of a quote in the Bible, but for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And you know, a lot of people, they take that as a decision that a father or a mother has made for them and their children. But do you realize, I cannot make that statement for me and my wife and my children. I can only make that statement for me. Because that's a determination for me and this house, this fleshly body that I'm living in. For me, in this house, I'll serve the Lord. My wife can be as good a woman as if possible to be. But if in her mind she decides she don't want to serve God, there ain't a thing I can do to make her serve God. That's a determination I can only make for myself. And each and every one of us, we need to come to that point. For me and this body of mine, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make it as good as I can to be an instrument for God that He can use to reach the lost, to reach people that hasn't made up their mind to totally dedicate themselves to God. We're sitting around in churches every day, people with their mind wandering everywhere, never paying any attention to what's going on, and yet they say, oh, I'm a Christian. But when it comes We need to make sure that everything that we receive in the Spirit and of the faith of the church, that is what God wants you to receive. Be awake, don't sit there asleep in church, because something might be said to your children that's not pleasing to God, even in church you say it. And God's requiring each and every one of us to know just exactly what's going on. And, you know, if here in America, if we could get people to quit being self-willed, self-righteous, self-whatever you want to say, and turn our mind and our heart over to God, and just literally live that, not my will, thy will be done. Make that our fullest purpose of life, to be what the Father and the Son would have you to be. You know, that's something I don't have to worry about, is if I please one, the other one won't be satisfied with me. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is in one mind and one accord. And I had a man make a statement to me that he could walk away from God, but that Spirit of God would just go with him. It would never leave him. You know, it's a sad thing to think about. Because somebody has been deceived. Because you don't walk away from God and the third part of the Godhead go with you. When you reject God, you walk away from Him. You also rejected the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we need to wake up to the point that God today is standing with His arms outstretched, even to those free will Baptists who sit in church every week with their mind and their heart somewhere else instead of upon the things of the Lord, with those that come to the house of God with their heart not right, and yet they sit there so self-righteous that nothing can touch them, thinking, well, I belong to this church for so many years, it's going to be all right. God ain't going to pay any attention to our membership card that we carry here from whatever church we belong to. It's why we're in the family of God. And church membership is all what puts us there. It's having that blood of Jesus Christ apply to our heart and living according to His Word. And keeping ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. You know, you've got things in the store that's marketed, and it's called spot remover. It's not for you to wash a whole garment in. It's just for you to go and spray this on a garment. It's got a spot on it, and then you sort of rub that spot, and it's supposed to get it out. Well, you know, with God, the same thing that cleansed me and you from our sin and started us out on that road to heaven is the same thing that it takes to remove them spots that we get on us on the road. When we turn and we are, I guess you say, enticed by something of the world, something that we do that we get out of the will of God, it takes coming back to that same blood that cleanses us up the first time to be regenerated, to be brought back anew. You know the thing I like about it? Unlike spot remover so many times here in this world, it might get the worst of it out, but if you know where it was at on that garment, you can still find it. But oh, how glad I am when we go to the Lord and we fail and we get on our knees to pray. When we get up from there, we find that garment is totally spotless again. Why? Because we went to the one that knows how to clean it up. And each of the ones, you know, those things in my life, that I battled for years and years that I was not comfortable with, where the devil just kept seeming to come back picking at the same thing, just the same thing that was bumping at you all the time. And I failed so many times, the devil would use that. Well, Paul had something that was hindering him, and he prayed about it, and it wasn't hindered. But you'll find out what did God say, but my grace is sufficient. He may not get you to the point where that temptation is never there, but he can get you to the point where you can walk mild and still be clean. You can protect the phone or anything else that is coming to you from that temptation. Why? Because
God has given you the strength to resist and overcome. And you know, my grandfather, he used to say, Herb, you can't help the birds that fly over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And what he meant by that, you can't help the thoughts that the devil puts in your mind, but you can keep them from lingering. And, you know, I have, in my lifetime, shook my head and prayed, because a thought that the devil was putting in my mind just kept coming back time and time again. But when you show that you're as persistent, you'll find it will leave. But if you just pray a prayer and it's still there and you give up, it won't go away. It'll end up you putting it in action. But if you resist, you'll find it will go away. And each and every one of us, that's how we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's how we stand before God blameless. Not because we haven't made a mistake, but because when we did, we went unto Him to get it cleaned up. We went unto Him to get it made right. Not that we said, well, I'm just human, and I can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. But I can live a life when God looks down that He sees perfection. Why? When I fail and I come short, I keep trying. Just like the building out here. I done my very best at hooking up the sink, but I've got several leaks underneath it. I have never had as much problem with plumbing in my life as I had out there underneath that sink. Well, guess what? I've not got them all solved yet. But I'm not going to quit till I do. Why? Because having leaks is not sufficient. You know, you can set something under it to catch it, but that's not something that I want to do. I want it to be totally dry. Because that's the only way to say I done the job right. You and I, when we stand before God, the only way to say we did it right was the way God laid down for us to do it. Anything less than that, we're going to stand there guilty because we did it wrong. And whether it's my fault the pipes are leaking or the material, I think it's the material. Because I can't see a thing that I've done different from all the others I've ever done in my life. Not one thing can I tell that I've done different. And truly, today they're cheating up everything. So maybe it is the material. But is that giving me an excuse to say, well, I done it the way I've always done. That's going to be good enough when I know it's leaking? No. I keep trying and trying and trying till I can come back 2 or 3 hours later and I can wipe my hand across that fitting and it not be one speck of dampness there. Then I can say, I'm satisfied. You and I can't clean up the things in my life, but I can go to the one that can. And then I can take that test that God gives, and He says, I'm satisfied. Then I will be satisfied. But if God is not satisfied with me, where have I got that I can sit down and say, I'm satisfied? And how does God let me know He's not satisfied? When I go to the house of the Lord and the Spirit of God is moving and I don't feel it. When everybody else is comfortable and run over, if I'm sitting there empty, that God lets me know there's something wrong between me and Him. And
to be with him. It's always been with me. And I ask each and every one of you, just remember, when we stand before God, he's still looking for them without spot and blameless. While we get some song to sing, whatever the devil is using to try and hinder you, you know, a person that's self-willed, it depends on what you're meaning by that, but when we use it to say that, well, what I think is right is okay, you know, a person that's self-willed in that way is one that is truly leading their self down a road of self-destruction. You know, I've seen people in my lifetime that started out just dabbling, I guess you'd say, in the things of sin and ended up their whole life destroyed by it. Not because that they intended it that way. It's just because it gradually grows and increases till that's what ends up happening. There's very few people that start out in life that the first crime they do is murder. They start off maybe shoplifting something and got a kick out of it. Or some other crime, and they gradually build up. You and I, it's very seldom the devil will ever get you to the point starting off that a person would just look up toward God and tell God, I want nothing to do with you. But he'll get you into little sin that leads to bigger ones. So you get to the place, you look up, and you say, God, I'm beyond hell. And nobody there to tell you, if you're not. If you only listen to what God has for you, you're not beyond hell. Why? Because God says that his son comes to die that whosoever will can be saved. Each and every one of us, please, don't let the devil tell you you've gone too far. If God is knocking upon your heart, God is revealing unto you that you're lost and you need a Savior. He's letting you know, I'm standing ready to accept you if you only come and repent. While we sing, will you come? Is your heart right with God? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Because if you don't, there coming a time you'll know him as your judge. Today, he wants to be your Lord, your Savior, your best friend. But if you reject that, I can guarantee you, you will meet him as your judge. Will you come?